Green Bay Packers. I thought the script writers might have that game getting tied at some point last night. You know, 10-10, and then maybe the Bears come back and find a way to slime one out. But I think the football gods with a little G punish them for their performance, their effort. Matt Nagy's play calling, Matt Nagy's Denny's menu, that you could, they were close enough up there that you could see a lot of the things that were written.
BU.
BU. That was really a bad performance. Hello, Matt. What's up?
Not
much. Welcome to Next Friday.
Absolutely. Happy Next Friday to you as well. Yeah, that was brutal last night from Mitch Trubisky, especially. I mean, when guys are wide open, he can sometimes get the ball to him, but he can't throw some guys open like you see Aaron Rodgers do. Like, he cannot make those types of throws unless there is just a perfect window. I don't know. I was not, and again, it's just week one, Thursday night football, divisional performance. That's usually how those types of games go, but man, he was rough last night, and the whole Chicago Bears offense obviously suffered as a result of that.
We will have Dusty join us a little bit later on in the show. Doug Gottlieb will be with us at 12:25. Jake Trotter's going to join us at 1:25. The Browns get ready to open up the season against Tennessee. I wish Dusty were here to hear this, but I'm pretty sure he would concur. Is that game was lost to the Bears last night with Mitch Trubisky's mustache. After seeing what Aaron Rodgers brought through the preseason, that substantial kind of handlebar, Yellowstone Wild West mustache, Mitch Trubisky goes out there with looked like an early peach fuzz mustache, and he played like it. It was pretty bad.
That was pretty emblematic of the whole game, really. Yeah, you're spot on with your analysis there.
You said the people that are in the worst mood today are the Warhawks of David Montgomery, which I've got him in a few leagues, and it looked like he was very tentative to run the football last night, and it looked like a game plan of all kinds of different things. I didn't think he performed very well. I didn't think his head coach gave him much of a chance to do much of anything. And if the Bears can't throw the football down the field at all, then it's going to be a really bad year for David Montgomery, because Tariq Cohen is going to catch about 92 passes a game.
That's exactly right. If you're fantasy, I mean, if it's a good offense, you can sustain a couple different running backs. But if you can't punch in the ball, you can hardly sustain one running back. So probably concerned. I mean, I don't think Mike Davis is going to edge out David Montgomery all year, do you? I think David Montgomery is more talented.
Just a different role. I mean, different role for those guys. I think that they want to use him kind of as the first down back. Like, for example, Jordan Howard didn't catch a bunch of passes in that offense. That's kind of the Tariq Cohen role. I don't know what they're going to do.
Here's how the carries shook out last night. Mike Davis got 5. David Montgomery got 6. Mitchell Trubisky had 3 attempts. That was it. That was all their rushes all night long. They threw the ball 45 times.
Well, I told you, I don't think I was alive the last time the Packers looked that good on defense. I mean,
that's true.
Had to be like in that 68, 60, you know. It looked like the pack had 13 dudes out there, which was crazy. I want to hear from Nagy on that performance last night. I thought that he went to the podium and said what I would have wanted to hear.
I really don't believe that. I don't. I'm sticking with my gut. I really feel that. I really do. I know what our guys can do. And again, I want to make sure. I don't think. I look back at it. I'll watch the tape and I'll see that. And there's times throughout the game where I know I'm going to be upset, because I know we as an offense are better than that, right? But I think I can be better too.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can be better as well. But he accepted responsibility for it, so there's no excuse. There's no excuse. I know that I kind of talked with Craig about this, Matt, and earlier today. I can't come out here and say because they didn't get a lot of reps in the preseason that's responsible for their poor performance last night. I do think with my eyes I saw a couple pretty good defenses out there, and so that had more to do with it rather than how many reps Mitch Trubisky got in the preseason. But the Bears were bad. They're going to be better than that last night. If not, they're going to finish about 6-10.
I thought Aaron Rodgers came out a little bit rusty, didn't you?
Yeah, but dude, Khalil Mack was trying to kill him.
Absolutely,
back there.
No, he was vaporizing their, the tackles for the Khalil Packers
Mack,
all night long.
That's exactly right. He looked like a kid that was 14 playing against 10-year-olds. He was destroying everyone that was in his way. So I think Aaron Rodgers would be upset about that. And I mean, that strike that he threw to Valdes-Scantling
was nice.
A huge play in the game.
You talk about throwing somebody open. I mean, that's the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Mitchell Trubisky right there. I mean, he saw that play before it happened. So Aaron Rodgers, obviously, I thought on the first drive, he did look a little rusty. He underthrew some guys, but obviously came back. And that Bears defense is legit. I'm not worried about them, but they got to tote the ball a little bit more on offense.
Rodgers doesn't have a ton of weapons. You know, this is not Jordy Nelson. I mean, it was a throwback game for Jimmy Graham. I mean, he looked to me like he's definitely going to need the whirlpool today.
He hurdled somebody. I didn't think I'd see that
moving
out of Jimmy
around.
Graham.
He did hurdle somebody, but I think it was kind of like maybe slow motion. It's like a Chariots of Fire hurdle. It was like, you know, just barely got over.
Yeah,
but he had a good game last night, and that makes me feel like there could be a lot of good things happen for Jay Sternberger there in Green Bay when he gets healthy.
Yeah, that's a big if for him right now. That's concerning news for him.
Yep. Okay, we got a lot of other stuff going on. I'm at Edmond Memorial High School today. They've got their season openers tonight. This is a sneaky good show day of the year to me, like one of the very best, because we've had the opening of the NFL last night. We got a couple of really good college football games in week two. We got an opening of the high school football season, which they're great games all over. You're going to be calling a game tonight on 9:30 WKY between McGinnis and Del City, which I think is a great game. A lot of talented kids on the field. This will be a good one here with Stillwater coming up to play Edmond. And we're here courtesy of Dennis Chamont, who's donated this remote today to Edmond High School, showing what great things is going on in the community in Edmond that he's been a part of for over 40 years, serving as a State Farm agent. And we highly recommend that you give him a call if you need a quote, a free one for life, home, car insurance, and more. 341-4581 is the number for Dennis Chamont here in Edmond. His office is located right near the campus of UCO. So some breaking news today. Antonio Brown has made an apology to the team, and we're learning a little bit more of what happened in practice on Wednesday, is that he was practicing, going along as if everything was fine, and then walked over to Mike Mayock and challenged him. A leaked source said Brown called Mayock a cracker. Is that even a thing?
That's, first of all, no, it's not. It's not, that is not a legitimate, like, we could say that on air. You know what I mean? Like, that is not a, we're not going to get in trouble for saying that.
Who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares? I don't think that got Mayock upset or anything like that. That doesn't make me think less of Antonio Brown. I'm sure that he called him much worse than a cracker in that deal, okay? He unleashed a barrage of cuss words during the altercation. I'm not going to play the race card on this. Calling him a cracker does absolutely nothing for me. It's not a situation of that. Mayock, though, apparently was kind of calm and cool through the whole thing. I understand that, too. And this is how crazy Antonio Brown is. When Vontaze Burfict comes over and is telling you need to settle down. I mean, Vontaze Burfict is, you know, he'll hit anybody late. He does some really dumb things throughout the course of his NFL career because he's a really talented player, and he has always gotten in his own way. But if he's the guy coming up, bro, you need to cool down a little bit. You really need to look in the mirror at that point. And, John Gruden wants to win. I don't know if he believes he can win this year or not, or he can be competitive. I would not pay this guy. It is too much trouble. Too much trouble. He's shown you who he is. He is also showing you who he is when he stands up in front of the team today and apologizes, tearfully, whatever, because he wants to get paid. And he wasn't going to act right, and he didn't think this scenario would ever happen to him. Whereas you haven't got a signing bonus. Your guaranteed money ain't guaranteed if we decide that you've proven that you can't act in the team's best interest. And that's what the Raiders are doing. They're showing that. He doesn't want to come to practice. He doesn't want to do all these things. This guy is not going to be what you think he is on this team. The Raiders aren't going to the playoffs this year. They're too young. Putting him on this team, they had a really good draft. Cleveland Farrell, Abram, all these young guys, I think, can be really good players in the NFL. And the Raiders may get back to being respectable in the next 4 to 5 years. But putting this guy on the team and paying him is not going to work. He's selfish in every aspect of his life. Period. End of story. Why are you going to put him on a team sport, on a team, and pay him that kind of money?
Don't you feel like they were handed a get-out-of-free card in this whole situation? I mean, they could have cut him, basically, for nothing, for free, if they wanted to.
Well, let's see what they do. I mean, there is reports that they might be, he's not suspended yet, technically, if they would reinstate him or whatever the language you want to use, that he could play on Monday night. That's kind of floating out there now at this point. You're 100% right, man. The Raiders got themselves out of this problem. They worked themselves out of this problem. The $30 million you got to pay to this guy, they worked themselves out of it, and now they're going to work themselves right back in it. That's terrible. If John Gruden's making those decisions, I'm worried about him on a bigger level.
It's funny, too, how the perspective on all this has flipped. I mean, not only in the past few weeks, the story has gone back and forth, but remember back when the trade happened, we were like, man, the Steelers only got a third and a fifth out of that? And now we're like, wow, I cannot believe that the Steelers got a third and a fifth-round pick out of that trade for Antonio Brown. I mean, obviously, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. They're pretty vindicated, in what has happened there, what shook out with Antonio Brown. But this whole situation is just, it's just bizarre. It's just bizarre, Mark.
Well, man, in life, though, he doesn't want to be a part of the team. He doesn't want to do the things that the other players on the team do. And so I think, to me, you've got to be wary of that. This guy's never going to be a good teammate, no matter how much talent that he has. And to put that mix into a young locker room, I think is not the right thing to do. The Raiders, this year, they're not going to win. I mean, they're not going to win. You and the Ultimate had a little debate yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
Give me the highlights of that. The diva situation, more so, it's not just endemic to receivers.
It started out with a caller asking about the whole, what you're saying. The whole typecast receivers as divas thing. Obviously, we've seen Terrell Owens, Ocho Cinco. It's not a new thing, but my whole counterpoint to him was, don't quarterbacks sometimes have diva-ish behavior? I mean, he talks about Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger has also exhibited a pattern of behavior that you could criticize. I mean, calling out his teammates on a radio show. Tom Brady, whenever he flips out on a coach on a sideline, you know, looks like a petulant kid. I mean, nobody rips him for that. So that was kind of my side of it.
I thought it was a really good point on Brady is that, you know, he does a lot of things to win by taking less money. But, yeah, he'll throw a temper tantrum on the sideline. Sideline temper tantrums don't bother me. I mean, and again, if you like a guy, he throws a sideline temper tantrum, it's just, oh, that's awesome, the emotion he's displaying and letting his frustration out. If you don't like a guy and he's throwing a temper tantrum on the sidelines, it's this guy's a cancer and the team is going to fall apart. And so I think that's definitely something. I do think there is also a little bit of an issue on wide receivers being divas. You know, I mean, it's a position that's kind of, it's tough. You can get drilled all the time. It's not, to me, the physical grind of the game. The life of a guard in the NFL or a defensive tackle is much different than the life of a wide receiver. I mean, you can go to a game and never even notice a guy played in the offensive line, and he's getting smashed every play. The wide receiver can run around out there, catch a touchdown pass, do a dance. You're always going to see him. And so they get a lot more attention than some of the other players do, but yet they all have to kind of coexist on a team in the same fashion. I think Antonio Brown, to me, is selfish. I don't know if you want to call him a diva or whatever, but he's not a teammate. He's a guy that wants to do all his workouts on his own, wants to go off and do things on his own. Those guys aren't great for teams.
I mean, at this point, what he has done has surpassed what Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco, or name your receiver, right?
I think so, yeah. I don't know the running. I mean, again, it's hard to label an entire position this, that, or the other, but I think it was a good point on Brady, is that Brady, for the most part, people like him. And they see him as a winner, but yet still doesn't change the fact that some of his antics are the same as other guys that you say wouldn't be.
He's obviously earned the benefit of the doubt. So, again, maybe not the most perfect example in the world, but, I mean, you can, you know, pick your quarterback. A lot of these guys are fiery. You don't get to that level of the NFL without having some, you know, some level of fire to you. You have to be really competitive. That's a tough life. Right. And so I feel like there's a double standard there a little bit.
That can be. I just can't believe the Raiders are going to go back in on this.
That is unbelievable.
Like you said.
I hope AB is okay, too. I hope he has people in his circle looking out for him.
I think probably it's tough sometimes when you're in that circle. I mean, the guy seems like he's
like
unhinged
unstable.
A little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's tough. It's tough. I think it's tough to be in that working environment where, you know, hey, I got a good job. I don't want to get fired from doing this. And so I'm sure he doesn't want to hear that, hey, you need to face some issues that are out there. Anything else that we need to hear about here before we talk to Mr. Let's hear from the Packer side of things, because I was really impressed with the defense last night in Green Bay. They looked good. Chicago's offense looked inept, but there's two sides of the story there, and the Green Bay defense was on the field. Let's hear a little bit from the Packers' new head coach, on getting the road win in the division.
Man, what a hard-fought football game. We got to give the Bears a ton of credit. We knew they were going to be a really tough opponent, and they were for four quarters. We knew it was going to be a four-quarter battle, and just really proud of our defense, the effort. I mean, I thought they were smothering. I thought our special teams really picked up the slack, and, you know, obviously we got a lot of room for improvement from the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's the way I would want it to look if I was a Packers coach. We got Aaron Rodgers. We got a good offense. It's going to be fine. To beat a defense like that at home in their place to open the season, it could not have gone any better for Green Bay. That was a huge win, Matt LaFleur, in his first game as an NFL head coach. We are at Edmond Memorial High School. Edmond getting ready to face Stillwater tonight. We're here courtesy of Dennis Chamont, State Farm Agency in Edmond. We'll take a break. When we return, Doug Gottlieb joins us next from Fox Sports. Stay tuned.
The Morning Animals.
You know I'm going through some stuff. It's
probably never going to be more valuable than it was last night or this morning. So, one, nice pick. Green Bay looked great last night.
I don't know, they look great. I mean, you know, I think the Bears have a very good defense. The Packers have kind of an underrated defense. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers, and the Bears have Mitch Trubisky. I mean, it's also hard to tell first week of the season, you know, especially with these teams not playing their players in the preseason, exactly what they're going to look like the first couple weeks. Very much a feeling out process. But I think there's some signs there, right? They feel like they're trying to learn how to run the football. They're trying to give Aaron Rodgers some other stuff other than just, you know, run around and throw the ball up in the air, Aaron Rodgers. And I think their defense is legit. They got good speed. Mike Pettine's a very good defensive coordinator. I think all those things kind of make some sense. And then, you know, I'm like looking around and, like, who do you love in the NFC? You know, people like the Vikings, but I'm Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, that's not close. You know, people like the Cowboys, and I like the Cowboys too. I don't think Dak Prescott is nearly as good as his record would tell you, and I think when push comes to shove, there's some limitations there. And, you know, like, we'll see how Kellen Moore calls plays. Like, is that what was missing offensively? So there's a lot of questions there, but, yeah, I think they got a shot. Why not?
I thought the defense was better than I expected it to be. It was really good last night. You're right, it wasn't an overall great performance, but I give credit to the Bears' defense for being good, too. Breaking news from today, Antonio Brown has apologized to his team in Oakland. Are the Raiders, to me, the Raiders, there's one decision to make here. It's just to cut ties and get yourself out of that $30 million deal. Are they going
I think 20, well, probably 30, maybe 31 other teams probably would. Maybe not that many. I think there's a good number of teams that would. But this is a John Gruden decision, man. And what I would have done was I would have heard his apology and still suspended him so that you could still potentially recoup all that money and see if his apology was still as heartfelt. You know, but it feels like the apology was only so that he could play this weekend.
Totally what it feels like to me. I think that's the only way you can go. I mean, this guy, look, what is it with how many times do you have to use social media as a detriment? I mean, he's not going to learn his lesson. I think that's just a terrible decision to me all the way around.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to reestablish. See, here's what the Raiders have done that's a mistake, right? They drafted culture guys and they signed culture character guys, but they signed, you know, high-priced free agents that, you know, and maybe Bontez Berfect's not high-priced, but, you know, Berfect and Antonio Brown, it should have been the opposite. The veterans are the guys that's supposed to be the high-character guys because those are the guys that players learn from. And instead they did that with their draft picks. So, obviously, this is a – I think it's a bad look for Gruden because he picks Antonio Brown over Mike Mayock and how Mike Mayock was talked to. And they can all say that, you know, that they love AB or whatever, but he's just, if this was the first thing, maybe, but it's not. There's a litany of things so far in the preseason.
Hey, I know you got to get out of here pretty quickly. Tell me what you're looking forward to most this weekend, college football wise.
Texas, right?
Yeah.
Big weekend for the Big 12, Texas. Obviously, OU looked great. I think some of that was Houston. Some of that is OU. Some of that is, I do think the world has forgotten, you know, how talented Jalen Hurts is. Like, he was the SEC Offense Player of the Year as a freshman. So, I mean, it's not like he was some bum walk-on who all of a sudden, you know, Lincoln is made into a superstar, but you put a good player who lacks some accuracy and you figure out some clever ways to use him, and man, that looked good. But this is a big one for Texas, big one for the league. But I think bigger for Texas than it is the Big 12, but it does really help the league if they can win this game.
All right. Hey, thanks for stopping in, man. This is the shortest appearance for you ever.
Yeah, because there's no arguing with Dusty. Where's Dusty this week?
He is in Maryland. He's got the Maryland-Syracuse game, which is a pretty good one. Yeah.
Yeah, how weird was that Hugh Freeze in a
bed.
In a bed, yes.
It was one of the strangest visual sights I've ever seen in my life, waving to the guy up there in the press box. That was that can of
like I get that your back's hurt, but like what are you really doing being at the game if you have, cuz he has a staph infection too, right?
Right. Is somebody else going to get it? Hey, come over here and help move me or something. Like, no thanks, man. I'm not getting near
that.
No,
weird. Now they're, I don't know if you saw this week, like they're talking about flying in a dentist chair that he can sit in so he can be propped up and see. Like, this is a real thing.
Take a couple weeks off, man.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, look, you can do everything video conference. Right? Like, I'm right now in your studio video conference-wise. I hit that dump button because of video conferencing. So, I mean, it's really, really amazing. I mean, I love football, too, and I love the Hugh Freeze. I love my guys. I love my team stuff. But, man, that's a lot to take.
They don't care. They don't care if he's there in a hospital bed. You're right. All right, get out of here. We'll talk to you again soon.
See ya.
All right, Doug Gottlieb. Did Doug tell you where he was going?
No, he didn't. He didn't say anything. He just said, I have 7 minutes.
Usually, that's what I'm saying. I'm impressed. Gottlieb, we got like 3 or 4 questions in on Gottlieb. 7 minutes sometimes will get you one question.
I didn't even try to get in there because I just knew. But, yeah, that was good. That was efficient. Efficient performance there.
That was. We do have some college football tonight. I'm kind of more interested in what's going on with the high school scene this evening here in Oklahoma because we got a ton of good games going on. The one here tonight, Edmond and Stillwater, Pioneers probably favorite. Bulldogs looking to pull a little bit of the underdog role tonight, an upset. And so if you're going to come out, check out the new stadium here at Edmond. I love what a lot of the schools have done is building their own stadium on campus. It kind of gives them their own identity rather than having to bus across town to play in a stadium to share with a bunch of other people. Putnam North's got a new stadium. Putnam West got a new stadium. Edmond, all the Edmond schools now playing in their own facility. And all of those are really, really nice. So it's a cool deal.
Absolutely. You got a scouting report on my game tonight, Del City? Versus,
yes,
McGinnis.
I'll give you a little bit of a scouting report. I'm telling you, Walker, who's committed to OU, linebacker from McGinnis, Nick Richardson, is going to TCU. He is an explosive offensive player, just outstanding. He's battled some injuries throughout the course of his career, but McGinnis has got an excellent team. Del City is loaded with offensive skill players. I mean, they've got guys who can play a multitude of positions. Mike Dunn's done a really good job at Del City. They've invested a lot in that program. Having a conversation with my friend Jeff Rogers from Rogers Concepts and all of the effort and hard work that he's put into to help and do some things for the kids there at Del City, give them pride and new weight room and stuff like that. And I think they're a definite contender this season in 6A Division II. And it's tough. They're in there with Lawton. Stillwater's got a really good team. On the eastern side of the state, you've got Bixby's been the flagship program in that class. You've got Booker T. But I think this will be a good game tonight. Probably a little bit, I would say it like this. I think that star power, McGinnis can counter what Del City has, but Del City has a little bit more depth than what McGinnis has. But I'm expecting it to be a really good game.
Yeah, I am too. Number one, I appreciate that. Nobody knows more about high school football in Oklahoma than you. Number two, your pigskin preview has helped me out a little bit as well.
Well, good. I don't write many articles in the magazine anymore. I do certain things, but I did do the write-up on the Del City. So I appreciate you not taking that to task. But anyway, I can tell you specifically, name-wise on that Del City team, they've got really it's some superstar players on that roster. So it'll be a fun game tonight. Tatum that committed to Oklahoma a couple years ago that mm-hmm. switched his commitment from Texas to Oklahoma. He's got a brother on that team that's a junior that I think you can look out for, Rajon Tatum.
Oh, very cool.
And also on offense, Jacoby Smith. You'll notice him tonight. Tremendous player, smaller guy, but he can really get out and get it done. And so they've had some talented skill position players at Del City in the past. So it'll be a good game. Really good game. All right, we can take a phone call here if you want to give us a call to round out the hour. 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. We expect Dusty in the 1 o'clock hour. We will also have Jake Trotter in the 1 o'clock hour. And so there's a lot of things going on in the world of sports today. If you want to give me a call, I'll be happy to discuss anything on your mind there today. I mentioned we got a couple college games tonight and then a big slate of games tomorrow. For me, my viewing schedule will be 11 o'clock, Ohio State, Cincinnati. I want to be there early because if Ohio State gets out in front, I'm going to have to change and go someplace else. Hopefully that will be a game that kind of keeps me intrigued until we get to Clemson and Texas A&M tomorrow afternoon. The Aggies got a huge, huge task on their hands at Clemson. That isn't going to be an easy game.
Somebody posted a video this morning of a plane to Atlanta, I believe taking off out of either OKC or Dallas, and the entire plane is singing an A&M song. The entire plane, at like 8 a.m.
Oh, I'd like to see that. That's pretty cool.
Man, I like pageantry, I like tradition, but I'm just trying to imagine if I'm up early for a flight, don't like waking up early, first of all, that's probably the last thing I want to hear on a plane, especially if I'm trying to take a little nap.
The Aggie War Hymn, is it soothing to you?
No, it's actually the opposite of soothing. It'd probably make my blood pressure rise a little bit.
I like passion, man. I mean, if you're on a plane early, you might as well be up.
They're excited, man. They really think they're going to win.
You sleep on a plane? Like, just knock yourself out, go to sleep?
No, that's the thing, too. I'm a really light sleeper, so the conditions have to be perfect. And Aggie War Hymn is not what does it for me. But again, maybe I just want to, you know, I mean, I definitely throw headphones on at that point. I would definitely prefer my own listening material over that.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
That's really the only thing you could really get up.
The brand new opening, the Edmund Memorial Campus Stadium, Stillwater coming into town. Luke Orvis in his second year here at Edmund Memorial was a player back in the day for the Bulldogs in the early 90s. Doing a good job of getting the program built back up here at Edmund. And I know they're going to be excited about opening up in this new stadium tonight here on campus. So, again, we are going to talk to you, 460-WWLS, 888-285-WWLS, 460-9957. Dusty will join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Mainly discussing today Antonio Brown's situation. He has apologized to his team, and it appears that the Raiders may not suspend him and would be eligible to play to open the season on Monday night against the Broncos.
We haven't talked about this in this hour. I heard you talking a little bit about it last hour, but Tyreek Hill extension, 3-year, $54 million. That's
a lot of money, man.
It is certainly a lot of money. It is certainly a lot of money. And again, I'm not going to make a moral judgment on Tyreek Hill, but just based on what I've known, there's got to be some risk there, right? Got to have some kind of language in that contract about off the field conduct.
I'm sure it's all over the place. Yeah. I mean, and he's worth that on the football field. And so I can understand why they would pay that. And I also understand that if there's conduct that's detrimental to the team, which is a very broad scope, definition, but certainly Tyreek Hill has exhibited some conduct that's detrimental to himself and would be the team as well.
Yeah, and to other people.
Yeah, you've got to be able to. He's got to be able to get it together, which is not always easy. I mean, if you're used to doing things like that and not accepting accountability for your actions, then I mean, stuff like that can continue to happen.
Yeah, and then on the business side of things, I mean, they're gonna have to max out Patty Mahomes here, next year, the year after.
Well, yeah, and that's gonna be the quarterback contract that really makes
that might get near $50 million. I mean, that might be 45, maybe a little bit under that, but that's gonna be massive.
No, I agree. This isn't a Jared Goff, Dak Prescott extension. This is an extension of a guy that could be a multiple year MVP. This season will have a little bit to do with it. There's got to be – he's not – I just don't think there's any chance that he's going to throw 50 touchdown passes this season. But it's almost kind of the anti-Dak Prescott situation is you get a guy with an incredible arm, incredible improvisation skills to get the ball where he needs to from different angles and all of this stuff that is blessed with incredible talent around him. Kelce, Hill, I mean, Sammy Watkins isn't bad. I thought that it's going to be tough to replace Kareem Hunt to me. I don't think that LeSean McCoy, Damian Williams are up to that caliber at the running back position. But this
offensive line is good enough. They got the guy from Jinx, too, though. Darwin Thompson. I mean, I think if he's as talented as they're touting, he could step up for them. But defensively is kind of their issue, right? I mean, they've got to mount some kind of defensive resistance. Otherwise, I'm really comfortable putting them as Super Bowl winners.
I see why they're the favorite. I see why they're the favorite. Probably does a little bit of it's probably undervaluing New England a little bit because just keep on winning and keep on doing what's right. And the NFC, there's just a lot of different teams that could, I think, get into the mix. All right, I told you I looked at a bunch of the NFL games this weekend, and I like a lot of the home teams in terms of winning games, not necessarily against the spread. The Browns and Titans, I know that the hype of the Browns is significant, but the Titans are facing a lot of adversity. Taylor Lewan, left tackle, suspended. Quarterback situation very much up in the air in the preseason with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. That can't be good. I would think that the Browns stadium would be like 100% thundered up, ready to go for this opener. And Cleveland favored by less than a touchdown. Only 5.5. The Titans are one of the most boring teams in the NFL. Find a way to win a few games every year. Usually competitive for the division championship. And not very many household names on that team. So I think Cleveland will win that game. I'm not sure if they'll blow the Titans away, but I think Cleveland wins that one. Ravens and Dolphins is interesting. I'm a big Ravens guy. The Ravens do a lot under the radar. I think Lamar Jackson, one of the big stories in the NFL, took over that job last year, led the Ravens into the playoffs, but yet still had a lot of flaws. The Ravens had to be so one-dimensional on offense, and they still were able to win a bunch of games. Looking at this temperature, and Todd Furman told us this, the Dolphins are incredibly good at home early in the season. And the Dolphins, we talked about that, their win-loss total, they're the worst in the NFL this year. Win-loss total of 5 projected. It's not many games. Baltimore given 6.5, and the temperature predicted for Hard Rock Stadium at 1 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock Central time, or that's certainly 12 here, 1 Eastern, 94 degrees. 94 degrees, and I'm sure that the humidity is going to be significant. So that's tough on the Ravens. The Dolphins are used to playing in that environment.
What's the spread on that? Do you have it?
Baltimore's favored by 6.5. It's too many points, man. You got to take the home team. Nobody's going to walk up to the window and say, "Give me the Dolphins." I would even suggest a small position on the Dolphins money line. Probably like plus $2 or 180. You got a chance to win it. Falcons, Vikes, right?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think they're a sneaky division contender
in the dome against that defense. Low-scoring game, probably, but I don't think the Falcons can do enough. Bills-Jets. Jets favored by 3. Two teams really similar to me. Jets offense has a chance to be pretty good. Sam Darnold, going to throw some picks, going to throw some touchdown passes. Le'Veon Bell, really good player. Bills offense, I don't know. How many Bills got drafted in your fantasy league? Or when was the first Bills offensive player in your fantasy league?
That would have been Devin Singletary. Let's see. Well, the most recent one was the one we did together, and that was post LeSean McCoy getting cut. So I think Devin Singletary went like what, fourth round, fifth round?
Fourth round? I didn't think he went that high. I would have said he went much less.
A little bit later.
For example, in most leagues, Zay Jones, who's the number one receiver in Buffalo, is still available.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You don't want any part of that passing game. It's basically Singletary and Josh Allen, right? I mean, those are the two guys you want to maybe Frank
probably
Gore.
So Josh Allen wasn't bad. He wasn't bad last year, but yeah, he's not going to rack up the numbers passing. Zay Jones will probably end up being a better fantasy player than you think he was in your draft. But you know, there's third receivers that are going before a number one receiver in Buffalo. So I like that game. I don't know either way. I'd lean towards the home team in that one. Redskins, Eagles. Clearly, the Eagles. Nothing to talk about there. Rams, Panthers. The Rams are favored on the road. This is one of my favorite games of the week. If I was going to lock an NFL game, I would lock the Panthers at home, catching a couple points. I think that Carolina is a lot better this year. I think this is the Rams' first game with a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. Cam Newton should be healthy. I think that the Panthers are going to win this game.
Obviously, the Rams are a really complete team, but I think where's the weakness on the Panthers? I think they're stout at just about every position group. I kind of like them this year.
I picked them to win the division. They upgraded on the defense with Gerald McCoy, who I think is going to be motivated. And
they've obviously got one of the best, if not the best, middle linebacker in Luke Kuechly. They've got cornerbacks, defensive line, wide receivers. They got a running back, quarterback. They've got it all.
Chiefs, Jaguars, I kind of like the Jags in this game. I think it's a tough spot for Kansas City, opening up on the road against a great defense. Jacksonville's fully invested right now. Again, that's going to be, that's 97. 97 degrees expected in that game.
Swampy out there.
Yeah, that's going to be, again, I think if you're in Florida, you're kind of used to that. That's going to be a big deal for the Chiefs. Colts and Chargers, now we're getting into the late in the afternoon starts. I like the Colts as a team for the season because I don't think there's going to be as big of a drop-off with Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett as some do. But the Chargers probably win that game at home. Seahawks, I think, get the Bengals pretty easily. Cowboys get the Giants. Lions, Cardinals could go either way. I'm kind of tempted to lean towards the Lions on that one. Bucks and 49ers, another game that probably isn't going to get a whole lot of rotation for me on my the NFL ticket, but probably go with the 49ers to win that one on the road. So I think we might have Dusty here coming up pretty quickly. So finished with all his activities today, and we'll talk with him a little bit more in detail about his game, professional game this weekend with the Jaguars and the Chiefs. So I'm going to pick the upset in that game straight up. Jacksonville gets the win. Hey, Dusty, I saw the temperature for that game is projected to be 97. I'm sure high humidity. That's got to be a little bit of a concern for the Chiefs.
97? Oh, don't tell me that. I'm enjoying 73 degrees in beautiful College Park, Maryland right now. It's like fall here, Mark. It's amazing.
Well, after you've talked to both coaching staff, Dusty, how do you see this game?
I mean, I give the edge to Maryland. I understand why the line's doing what it did. Mike Locksley was impressive, Mark. And, you know, his head coaching record is not good. He really struggled at New Mexico. But when you look at where he's been, whether it be this is his third time at Maryland, has been at Florida, was the offensive coordinator at Illinois with Ron Zook when they had some of those really good offenses with Sharp Mendenhall and company. This guy knows offense. He obviously won the Broyles Award last year at Alabama. He was there 3 years with Saban, taking some of the process with him. And he's a DMV guy. This is kind of his area, his neck of the woods. And when we talk to the players today, a couple players from each side of the ball, it feels like they hired the right guy. And they got some talent here, Mark. So, you know, I do think Syracuse is still a good team, but Josh Jackson, the transfer from Virginia Tech, I give the edge at quarterback to him for sure. I think both teams have solid defenses. Syracuse has the better defense. Syracuse defense is really good. They get after the quarterback. They take the football away as good as anybody in college football. And they get off the field on third down, which are three key areas in my opinion. But I worry about their offensive line. They had to replace three starters from last year. They lost their starting center. So now they got to move a tackle to center who's played center before, but you know how that goes. It's like dominoes and musical chairs. Once one guy goes down, now the right tackle moves to the left tackle, you know what I mean? It messes things up. So I'm going to give it a slight edge to Maryland, but I think Dino Babers is really good. And I think their offense, it probably functioned as poorly as it could last week against Liberty. And I expect that they'll at least be a little bit more efficient than they were last week. They didn't run as many plays. They typically like to run. Their pace, their tempo wasn't where it's at. But I would give a slight lean towards Maryland. But I really do think it's going to be a heck of a football game. I don't see either team just kind of blowing out the other team, which makes for great television, makes me excited about this matchup.
We have some breaking news.
Exactly. That's where I was going to go to.
Yeah, from The Athletic, the Raiders have prove why they're the Raiders. Antonio Brown is going to play on Monday night after today's apology. I think that's awful. I mean, that's horrible for Mike Mayock. I think that's going to be horrible. I don't anticipate the situation is going to work out very well. Now they're just going to have to pay him his money. So,
here's what I think about that, Mark. I'll just tell you. I think Mike Mayock's going to be looking for the door as soon as possible, because clearly this is John Gruden's decision, a man who they gave $100 million over 10 years to. Because if you listen to John Gruden yesterday, he was backing the player over the GM. Which, and go back to the statements each of them made during the whole helmet situation, John Gruden was kissing Antonio Brown's butt, making excuses for him, whereas Mike Mayock basically said, you're in or you're out. So I think from that standpoint, there is there's some real dissension between general manager and head coach. And though Mayock is the general manager, when you give a guy a 10-year contract, $100 million, you're really giving him all the stroke and all the power. So I think this is as much anything. This is a John Gruden decision. I don't think this is a Mike Mayock decision.
I'm with you. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll hear more from Dusty. We'll talk about the NFL slate this weekend. Jake Trotter's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. He will make his picks. I'm here in Edmond today at Edmond Memorial High School for Dennis Chamont, State Farm agent in Edmond. A lot of progress going on this campus. Brand new track and field facility opening up across the street. That will open up next week. First game in their on-campus stadium here, so a lot to be excited about. 40 years in business in Edmond, giving back to the community today. Dennis Chamont, State Farm. And you can reach him at his office at 325 North Bryan in Edmond at 405-341-4581. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma State versus McNeese State is live.
I'm hanging out at Edmond High School today, courtesy of Dennis Chamont, State Farm agent in Edmond, 40 years in the business. Memorial taking on Stillwater tonight. First ever game on campus at Edmond Memorial High School for football. Dusty is with us from College Park, Maryland. Dusty. The Bears offense last night, that was not good. Not good at all.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Remember when Brian Urlacher was telling us on Wednesday how much he thought of Mitchell Trubisky? It was hard for me to co-sign that, but I wasn't gonna tell him he's wrong. He looked terrible last night. Nagy called some odd calls in big spots. There was a fourth down call that I hated. That interception at the end of the game was awful. I was watching it from about 35,000 feet. Goodness gracious. In a game that you hold Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers to 10 points, or really 7 up until I think about 4 or 5 minutes left, you should win that all day, every day. I mean, the pressure they got on them, the amount of sacks they had, they did so many things well defensively, but the offense just couldn't get anything going whatsoever. Got to give the Packers credit defensively, but man, that was an awful, awful showing for Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bear offense.
I remember exactly why, and I know it worked in New England, but it was more out of necessity that they played Cordarrelle Patterson in the running back spot. Why did they put him in there last night on that play? The dude's 6'3".
I don't know. Don't ask me.
It seemed to me that Matt Nagy was outthinking himself, Dusty. It was more like he was trying to be cute and doing a lot of different things than he was with a real solid game plan. But
I agree with you, but all it was an L. Nice win for Matt LaFleur and the Green Bay Packers, who, you know, all they've done is kind of, myself included, I've been thinking that they're going to have some real struggles now. I don't think you feel great if you're that Packers offense. They weren't necessarily juggernauts. That's an outstanding Bears defense they're going against. But defense was definitely on display last night. Offense, not so much of a premium.
I thought the Packers.
Hey, by the way, Tariq Cohen got me 12.9 points. I thought that was a pretty good play. He's basically a slot receiver. I don't think he's going to play running back for him.
Did he get a rushing attempt last night? I don't think he did.
No, because they have that other running back they like, 25.
Mike Davis.
Back. Yeah.
Well, that's a good call. I thought David Montgomery looked hesitant last night. They didn't really give him much of an opportunity to do anything.
No,
the Packers defense, Dusty, to me, was the surprise of the night. They played really well.
Yeah, and how about the former Bear that they get in free agency makes the game-winning play? Got to sting a little bit, huh?
Yeah, that does sting a little bit. What are your thoughts on the Antonio Brown situation? I can't believe they're going to play this guy, man. I just can't. I mean, he's going to be emotional and apologize to his teammates because for the first time, I think he's figured out that if I'm not going to play, I'm not going to get paid. And he hasn't earned a signing bonus. So I think it's such a bad example for this team, a young team, to let him play on Monday.
You and I are in total agreement. And again, this is, don't you agree that this is a John Gruden call?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, this is Gruden going above his general manager's head. Again, I don't know. I think that, to me, I mean, you're sacrificing that relationship right there. And really, you know, the precedent that you're setting is a dangerous one with your football team, by going above his head. And basically, now I think you're telling your team that, so long as you have talent, you can say or do or treat people however you want, right? Now, you know, it's that age old debate. Does talent trump all? I think they allowed that to happen in Pittsburgh, and look how it burned them. The guy quit on him in week 17 last year. And I think that Mike Mayock was trying to say enough's enough, right? And he's trying to, was trying to use this to set Antonio Brown straight. And really all it's done is, again, by John Gruden going over his head, it's enabling Antonio Brown to continue to act and behave however he wants with no consequences. I think it's terrible. But whatever. I mean, I'll tell you what, I've lost a lot of respect for John Gruden in this situation. That's what I have. Because ultimately, he just wants talent on the football field. And he's willing to jeopardize, he's willing to jeopardize basically anything else just to make sure he has that. And I think it's unfortunate. I really do. I thought it was the right move by Mike Mayock. And I'm not saying you have to even suspend Antonio Brown for the entire season. But, I mean, Mark, you sent me a text, and I don't know if that's right, but if what you sent me is true, and he came at Mike Mayock like that, how the hell are you going to let that guy play on Monday night? How?
I wouldn't at all. I think that's insane. Plus, he also unfollowed Derek Carr on Instagram. I don't know how he's going to go back on that. That's already been done. Derek Carr did nothing to him.
I don't get it. Like, it's not going to. I don't know if Mike Mayock makes it through the season. Would you want to be a GM there?
No, absolutely not.
He quit TV for this.
That's what I'm saying. He left his career to go and do this job and join John Gruden. And this is how John Gruden's going to treat him when he makes, you know, when he makes the first real decision that needs to be made for the organization to get the culture the way it needs to be. That's what he's going to do. He's going to go over his head now. As a fantasy owner, I'm happy. I'm going to fire Antonio Brown there Monday night because I don't question if the guy's going to be able to be productive and make plays. I know he will. But at what cost? At what cost to your organization, to your team, to the locker room, does it come? And that's the bigger point to me. It's like at some point, production, it's always so much on the field. When you become a cancer, when you become a jerk, and as an organization, you enable that to happen. Again, to me, Antonio Brown, nobody is that good of a player, in my opinion. And again, look what happened in Pittsburgh, Mark. Look how it turned out in Pittsburgh. Until Antonio Brown, until his feet are held to the fire, or should I say, dipped in the ice. When's he going to learn? When's it going to stop? I don't get it. I mean, I understand what John Gruden's thought process is. I just vehemently disagree. I think it's a mistake.
Yeah, the that's right. I mean, he's just kind of they've pulled any ability, kind of underseated Mayock's ability to be the GM. But anyway, I like the Jags on Sunday, man. I think they're going to win that game straight up over Kansas City. Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy. I don't know if I agree, but I don't think you're crazy. I mean, it'd be hard for me to say I agree considering I just picked Kansas City to win the Super Bowl. No, but I think it's going to be a heck of a football game.
I think they can win and get to the Super Bowl. This is just a tough opening week assignment, I think. I just think it's a really kind of sneaky tough one for them, a tough place to open up.
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough matchup. I mean, they held Patrick Mahomes in check. I mean, they do a lot of what Seattle used to do. It's interesting. We were talking with the coordinators today. Coordinator at Maryland is John Hoke. John Hoke was secondary coach at the Bears when I was there, so Coach Hoke and I kind of got to catch up. And we started chatting about this matchup. And we were talking about Andy Reid's offense, and he was talking about how basically they've scrapped the West Coast offense, and they've gone full-blown RPO college system. And, you know, and then I told him, I was like, I'm actually calling the game, and we were talking about what Seattle does. They run that three-deep coverage, and it's very similar to what Seattle did and made them so good under Gus Bradley. And, you know, just kind of talking about that matchup. And I still just think, though, Mark, there's just too many weapons. And I think the other side of it for me is I really like that Chiefs defense heading into this year. I want to see what Tyrone Mathieu looks like. I want to see, can Jacksonville protect Nick Foles? Because Kansas City's going to have a good pass rush. And one thing about Nick Foles, he needs to get the ball out quick because he's not going to be a guy that's going to be able to move around or evade much of a rush. So, again, I don't think you're crazy. Jacksonville beat them last year, and they really held that offense in check. So it's definitely possible, but I'll take my Super Bowl champion to find a way to come out with a win. Maybe just by a field goal. Could be something like that. Maybe don't cover the four, but I like Kansas City to win the game.
There are at least some reports out there that feel that D.D. Westbrook is going to have a breakout season. Like he's going to be the number one receiver for the Jaguars and catch, you know, 90 balls and have a really, really good year. Is in your prep for the game, are you finding out that that's the likelihood for him this season?
Yes. Yeah, 100% what I've seen. He's going to be their feature guy. This is his year to kind of shine. And I think that's one thing, you know, Nick Foles, he throws a good deep ball. And we know D.D. Westbrook can get behind the defense and use his speed. So I'm intrigued to see. He's been okay so far to this point, but he hasn't really burst onto the scene the way it feels like he might in this matchup or in this upcoming season. So I'm excited for him. I think one of the keys will be, like we've kind of talked about, is, you know, they need to get that running game going. So I just think that that's going to open up so much for their passing game down the field.
Hey, the Browns are favored by less than a touchdown at home against the Titans. We'll talk to Jake about this coming up next segment. But is that low? I mean, how are the Titans going to be competitive in that game?
How are they going to block defensive ends? That's what I want to know.
Right.
Taylor Lewan being out is a huge, huge factor for me. I think Myles Garrett's going to have a heyday in this game. So, I mean, you know how the NFL is. Mark, it's so hard. I mean, anything around a touchdown, I mean, you know, it's not like.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's a. So, I mean, I like Cleveland in the game, but so what is it? Six and a half? Cleveland's a favorite on the road?
Cleveland's at home, five and a half.
At home, sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd be leery of laying that, but that one looks like, to me, the home team is going to have a really good chance. Like, the Cowboys are 7.5-point favorites. I get the Giants aren't very good, but that's a kind of a rivalry game where the Giants usually play really well. I don't know about that. I definitely wouldn't lay the 7.5 with the Cowboys.
That's a lot of lumber, man. Goodness gracious. That over a touchdown.
What'd you think of the Zeke Jerry press conference? T-shirt and all that stuff. Did you see that?
I don't know. I just kind of saw it briefly. I don't put a whole lot into it. What about you? I mean, did you have any strong opinions on it?
Well, I think it was kind of a good way to reconcile that. You know, Zeke clearly going to be happy because he's getting what he wants. He's getting the money. He's getting a ton of it up front. And for Jerry to kind of prove his point too, because again, you know, he's making a joke. And he has the right to do that. You know what I'm saying? In some ways, it was kind of Jerry asserting a little bit of his control and trying to do it in a good-natured way where, hey, we're all back on the same page. Let's go win now. So I guess
I just assumed that when they were able to get that deal done, everybody, you know, kind of reconciled and is back on the same page. I guess it's good to show that in a public forum, but I guess for me, you know, that's just contracts, that's just business. Right? I mean, that's just part of it. I think that negotiations, they can get hostile, they can get a little bit crazy, but I think at the end of the day, signed, sealed, delivered, my guess is going to be they're going to put all that past them.
Okay, I got two more NFL games I want to ask you about briefly. I like the Panthers to win straight up over the Rams. They're getting like a point and a half. What are your thoughts on that game?
Man, you were fading last year's teams that were impressive.
I think it's more that I just like these home teams. I like Carolina. I like Jacksonville.
I like Carolina.
What? Yeah,
all
yeah.
Go to all the way across the country.
Or maybe I'm saying that, and maybe you're right in saying that, is that why I do like fading those teams is because I think you get a little bit of value based on last year's performance. This is a new year, different year. And
what time is that game kick in Carolina?
That's a noon game.
I would agree with you because that's Charlotte's East Coast time. So you're talking about 3-hour time difference. Yeah, I would agree. That's, to me, if it wasn't that, I probably wouldn't feel as strongly. But that, you know, a lot of times we see that when you go west to east or east to west and it's that early kick, when you go west to east, that's tough on teams. Just body clocks and everything. So I could buy that. I could buy that. I could see the Panthers getting out to a big victory. Now, I'll be there next week to see a rematch of the NFC Championship game in L.A. And I can promise you if the Rams lose the opener, that game's going to have an even bigger importance for them to make sure they win. You don't want to start 0-2 because if they start 0-2, I mean, it's not a guarantee, but the numbers bear it out. The percentage chances of making the postseason dip mightily.
This is a really good game. I like the home team in this one, Minnesota and Atlanta. I mean, anytime you got Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, you can make some plays and make the game interesting or perhaps even steal one. But
What's the number?
It's four. I mean, that could easily be a field goal game, but I like the Vikings just to win it straight up.
I like the Vikings. So four, Atlanta's a 4-point favorite at home?
4-point underdog.
Okay. I was going to say, man, I like Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to have a really good year this year, Mark. I think Kirk Cousins, again, Dalvin Cook's health is of the utmost importance. But I think Zimmer's a heck of a defensive-minded guy. They got real players in that side of the football. And Kirk Cousins, you don't have to love him, but he's got weapons, man. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, they are a legit, bona fide, quality 1-2 punch at wide receiver with Kyle Rudolph as a damn good tight end. So if they can just get a healthy Dalvin Cook this year, I think that offense is really good and potent, and I love the defense. So I like Minnesota to win the game, but it could be a field goal. The birds are tough in the dome, man.
That's the key, though, for the Falcons. I mean, for the Vikings is running the ball. Kirk Cousins, inexplicably sometimes against good teams, he'll throw the ball into the ground. He will throw the ball into the bleachers. I mean, he just can throw it anywhere. Incredibly, inaccurate. I don't know if he loses his confidence very easy or what it is, but he started off last season great and then just fell right off the map. Now, you can also blame the lack of running game because Latavius Murray was not Dalvin Cook. So I think you got to have a healthy running back in that one.
Real quick, what do you think about, I'm going to throw a couple at you. Arizona, how do you think Kyler's going to look at his debut?
I think he'll look okay, but I'm going to go with Detroit. I think Detroit is in a tough division. This is a game that they'll win. I'm sure Arizona will have a big crowd there in support of that. But I'm how I've been on the Cardinals this year. Just not a big fan of them overall. So I'll take Detroit.
I like the Cards. I like the Cards to win the game. I think Kyler gets off to I think that's a favorable matchup in his debut in a regular season game against Detroit at home.
Second best game in the late window, right there. At least the most interest.
I mean, a lot of interest. All right, one more thing. We didn't talk much about it yesterday, but. Texas A&M. I was thinking about it. What a big weekend for the state of Texas. What are your thoughts? I would say if I had to pick it, I think A&M can keep it in the number. I've been more and more, the more I've looked at this, Mark, I feel like LSU is going to kind of get after Texas. What are your thoughts on those games? Neither one of us picked them in our picks. We stayed away.
Yeah, I don't want to pick either one of these games because I think I feel the other way than you. If I had to pick one team to cover, I think I'd go with Clemson. It's just a situation and a spot where this is a huge game for them. It's maybe the toughest game on their schedule, and I think that they realize that, want to go out and look good, and they've got all the weapons to get it done like that. Then the A&M or the Texas LSU game, I understand why everybody's anti-Texas. I understand the depth at running back problems. I understand replacing starters against a team of big-time NFL potential guys. I just think that the night game at Texas in that atmosphere is going to be something special for the Longhorn players, and I think they're going to play. I think they're going to play with their hair on fire. So I think that game, Dusty, is to me no more than a 10-point game. LSU could cover. But I think Texas keeps it within that window. It's not going to be a blowout side to LSU.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout either. Yeah, but I mean, 7, 10 points. I don't know what the numbers got today. Got to 6.5 yesterday. And the other thing is, it's interesting. I've heard two lines of thinking from like a Oklahoma or a you know, just anti-Texas standpoint. Like, to me, I look at it as it's great for the league if Texas wins. Like, because no matter what, if you're Oklahoma State in a couple of weeks, you're going to play a high-rated Texas team. If you beat them, that's going to bolster everyone's resume. Like, to me, you want to get, as a league, you want your upper echelon teams to get those skins on the wall, right? Because that helps everybody. Because when you play those, when you play Texas now, that's a resume builder. But I've also heard, and I've talked to some people that want to see Texas get rolled, because in the recruiting world, they're going to have a lot of recruits there on Saturday. And if they win that game, it's going to make it that much tougher to recruit against the Horn. So what do you think, Mark? What's
I got a strong opinion on this.
Okay.
Dude, what Texas does in a vacuum makes no difference to Oklahoma's recruiting. As long as OU handles their business, Lincoln Riley is, you know, he's going to get the top offensive recruits no matter what Texas does tomorrow night. But the perception of what Texas does tomorrow night is huge to the league and the college football playoff and the amount of attention that's paid to the Big 12 and all that stuff. If you're an OU fan, you got to root for Texas on Saturday night to win. Then you go handle your business with your recruits in the Cotton Bowl coming up the second week of October. That's simple to me.
I totally agree. But I'm going to tell you, I think we might be in the minority. I've heard more people go the other way than that than the way you and I think. I'm 100% with you. I feel that way strongly. But it seems like, I don't know, there's a lot of people that seem to think if Texas is able to beat LSU, it's going to be a bad thing. I know this much. When Oklahoma won a national championship and when it was really rolling the Big 12, both Oklahoma and Texas, they were really good. And it didn't affect either one of those schools from getting high-end, top-notch recruits. So, again, I don't look at it from that point of view as it's some kind of negative if Texas wins. If Texas wins, that game in Dallas, it's going to be that much bigger. Then you just go kick their ass when you get a chance to play them.
Absolutely. We got to take a break. I'm here at Edmond Memorial High School. Jake Trotter going to join us next here in the Monsters of the Midday. Stay tuned.
The Morning Animals.
I do have some breaking bad news.
Biology teacher at Edmond Memorial, the track facility across the street, is going to open up next week, and it's the final campus project here from Edmond Memorial for the remodeled gym and the track facilities. Got a really young team here at Edmond, but Coach Orvis has got them headed in the right direction. We're here today courtesy of Dennis Chamont, your State Farm agent at Edmond, 40 years in the business. If you need a quote, a free quote from him, you can call the office at 341-4581. You can also go by and visit them on the Hoof near UCO, 325 North Bryant Avenue in Edmond for Dennis Chamont. Dusty is joining us from College Park. Can Maryland win 6-7 games this year, Dusty? Can they get to a bowl? I mean, that's they're in a tough division of the Big Ten.
Yes, they can. Here, let's see. Howard, obviously, they won 7-0. They got Syracuse at Temple. You think they're going to win tomorrow? I told you I'd give them a slight edge, but I don't. I'm just telling you right now, that Syracuse defense, it is tough, it is nasty, and if they create some turnovers, and if here's the key for Maryland. Anthony McFarland, sophomore running back, is a stud. Okay, over 1,000 yards last year. He had two 200-yard games. He could really go. They need to get him going because what Mike Lotsey and this offense wants to do, they want to run RPOs. Well, big way to get RPOs going is run the football. So, and they need to get it not third in predictable situations, because I'm just telling you right now, if you get a chance to watch my game, 11 o'clock tomorrow, ESPN, Alton Robinson, 94, and then Kendall Coleman, 55. These guys have accounted for like 21 sacks since the start of last season. I mean, they can really go and get after. If you put them in third and predictable pass situations, it's going to be tough. Maryland is breaking in two new offensive tackles that aren't very good. But if they're able to win tomorrow, absolutely they're going to go bowling, because I think they can beat Temple next week. I don't think they're going to be able to beat Penn State here. But then, Mark, they got at Rutgers. That's a winnable game. They can get off to a 3-1 start. Again, that's if they can beat Syracuse tomorrow. At Purdue, be tough. I'd probably say no, that's an L, just because, you know, Purdue's offense is pretty good. So that's 3-2. Indiana at home, I think that's a winnable game. At Minnesota, man, back into the schedule is really tough. At Minnesota, they would need to win because they got Michigan coming into Maryland. At Ohio State, which they almost beat Ohio State last year, they would definitely think Ohio State's looking for some revenge. Then they get Nebraska coming to town at Michigan State. So, I mean, really, they need to get off to a 3-0 start, or six wins might be tough to come by. But, yeah, I'd say six is doable. Tomorrow is going to be very important to get them there, though.
All right. Important question. Did you get some crab?
I have not gotten it. I got in at, like, midnight last night. I got no crab yet, but
is it on the agenda to get some good Chesapeake Bay seafood tonight?
Absolutely. I can't come here and not get some good crab, right? I mean, that's absolutely on the agenda. I'm telling you, though, this weather's got me smitten right now, man. I mean, it's like 70 degrees. It's overcast. I got a long sleeve shirt on. I mean, it's amazing. It feels and smells like football here. And then you're telling me I got to go to 97 on Sunday in Jacksonville? Man.
Yeah, no thanks. That's
Jack Del Rio breathing down my neck up in the booth. I'm not nervous. I'm excited. But, like, so I talked to the producer of the show today and, you know, for Sunday's game. And, you know, she's telling me, did Steve call you, the big boss? Did he call you and tell you about Coach Del Rio is going to be there? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, you okay? So I was like, absolutely. She's like, well, we're going to put him right next to you and put on a headset. And she said, I told him that, you know, the best way for you to learn how to do this is, you know, just to listen to Dusty, his cadence and how he gets it out and all this stuff. So now it's like there's all this pressure on me. You know what I mean? And like, this is Jack Del Rio. I mean,
you're good.
Played at the highest level. He's coached at the highest level. He's never been in the booth. But now I feel like not only do I have to do my job good because it's going on national radio, but now I've got a guy like breathing down my neck that's going to be critical of anything that I say or do. So my nerves got ratcheted up just a little bit with Coach Del Rio in the booth.
Okay, I know that this hasn't been a big deal, but it's, I think, of interest to some people around here. The OU-South Dakota game, is there anything that you want to see? Like I said, I'm curious about Spencer Rattler. I feel pretty confident that we'll see him. I have no idea. Like I told you, if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm telling Jalen Hurts, go out there and give me a sprint tonight. Let's get you 6-7 series where, you know, you do a lot of things right and we'll get you arrested over the sideline. So defensively, OU should be able to dominate this game, Dusty.
It better. I mean, they should dominate on both sides of the ball. Like, I think the biggest thing offense, take care of the football, right? Two fumbles last week, clean it up. You know, don't put the ball on the ground. I think you clean that stuff up. I think also clean up the penalties. There were some dumb penalties on defense that extended drives. You know, clean up the running game. I thought that they got gashed a little bit by the quarterback run game. I was told that South Dakota's got a quarterback of interest. I mean, I don't think he's any by any chance a great player, but their best player. This is not a very good team. So, you know, I think what you saw for the most part of the first half and at times in the third quarter, like while the starters are in and even the backups, be more consistent and get a takeaway, right? I mean, on offense, don't turn the ball over. On defense, take the football away. That's one area that I think that this team, if they really want to, you know, improve in an area that I think is possible, it's their turnover margin. It was not good last year. That's got to be better. So I think those are two areas for me, and you hope you just get out of there healthy because, again, it's hard sometimes to even judge what you're looking at when you've got such a discrepancy of talent on the field.
So there will be an opportunity for some young guys, and there were some freshmen that got the chance to play last week a little bit.
Marcus Stripling looked good to me. I've been talking
Marcus
about him
Stripling.
For a while, 33.
You've also mentioned Woody Washington. Laurent Stokes is not a freshman, but he's the guy that's probably going to start most of the season and play. But I would expect that some of those guys are going to get some significant run and possibly maybe even give a chance to change somebody's mind on what part of the rotation they could be the rest of the season.
Yeah, there's also Jalen Davis, I think, the guy to keep your eye on, too.
Corner.
Another cornerback out there that I know they were high on coming out of training camp. So, yeah, this is a game where you'd like to try to get, and the thing is you can kind of empty, you can unload the gun, so to speak, if you're coaches now because of the new redshirt rules and getting to play them in four games. So this should be a game that is not in question by halftime, and that they're able to get some guys some valuable reps, and you can see kind of what you have, and probably a chance to see some of those other freshman wide receivers too, Mark. Right? We saw Jayden Hazelwood last week, which we expected. I think he's the most talented of the group, but. You know, Theo Weiss, Trajan Bridges, those guys are really talented too. I'd like to see Marcus Major because I think he's got a chance to be a really good player, and we still haven't had a chance to really see him. So, I mean, all these things are predicated on if these guys go out there and handle the business, and I'm sure that that's as much of a focus of anything for these coaches this week, both in Stillwater and in Norman. Like I told you, like, these are some of the hardest games to coach in, right? Because to keep your players' attention all week in practice and, you know, get them to ratchet it up knowing that they're going to take the field and be that much better of a team, but also with the understanding that we still got to get better. Like, we can't take a step back because next week's game, and then after that, once you get into Big 12 conference games, you need to be hitting your stride as opposed to just trying to get back to where you were week number one. So I think that's the singular focus all week is just don't worry about what you see on the tape. Focus and see how you can get better, continue to get better individually and then as a group as well. I feel like I've been saying that all week, but that really is the message. And it's not the easiest thing to get through to 18 to 22-year-old kids, but it is something that I can assure you both these staffs have been trying to do. What about Stillwater, man? Any thoughts on the McNeese game?
Yeah, no, here's the thought for me is that when do you go with Drew Brown? Because I think part of that decision was trying to assure Spencer Sanders that, you know, he had a future at Oklahoma State. If you start Drew Brown over him, it makes things problematic for him long term or questions maybe, you know, do I want to stay or is there someplace else I might be better off? And so I think that they're going to have to want to play Drew Brown at some point in time and yet still defer to Spencer Sanders as the, quote, number one guy. But, gosh, I expect, like, can you imagine the mismatch of, Tylan Wallace and Chuba Hubbard against those guys? And, again, I think if McNeese State is the more quality opponent of these two.
I agree. I was about to say, I mean, you say that mismatch. I mean, CeeDee Lamb and Trey Sermon, you know what I mean? It's just a different level of player. I loved, I was just on the Morning Animals this morning from up here in College Park. I loved the audio I heard from Mike Gundy. I kind of tweeted this out after the game. I think I tweeted on Sunday about the Friday night game. I didn't get a chance Friday night. But, I don't know. I can't say since Mike Gundy's been there. But I thought it was the best the offensive line looked in a long time. I would say since probably, I don't want to go too far back, but, I mean, the best offensive line I remember is the year they won the Big 12 championship. And I remember being at Stillwater and watching those guys road grade the Oklahoma defensive line off the football. I mean, I thought that was when Joe Wickline had those guys, they were rolling. And that was definitely in week one against, I get it, an inferior opponent, but a power five school in Oregon State. I thought it was the best the offensive line looked in a long time. And, you know, I think he said that they graded out, Mike Gundy's audio was that they graded out higher than anybody else. I just think if you're an Oklahoma State fan, you want to keep seeing that, man. You want to keep seeing that Charlie Dickey effect, regardless of who you're going against. That offensive line, if they continue to be good, I just think that that's going to mean great things for this offense. Because you know about Tylan, you know about Chuba. And if Spencer Sanders, as a young quarterback, he's got the athleticism, he can throw it. And now if you give him an offensive line that gives him time in the pocket and gives you a quality running game to where it's going to force defenses, you know, to kind of show their hand and play against that running attack, it's going to open up so much down the field. So we focus so much on the skill, but I really think if Oklahoma State's going to have a much improved season, that offensive line, it can be as big a factor as any they have.
Yeah, they didn't move it last year against Missouri State. I mean, they didn't blow those guys off the ball, right? Yeah,
there were short yarded situations where you're kind of going, now wait a second, we've got to be.
I'm not worried about that.
Football.
You're right. They made significant improvement in that area. There's no doubt to me. I'm here at Edmond Memorial High School today. Stillwater coming to town tonight for its first ever on-campus game here. We want to say a big thank you to Dennis Shamat, your State Farm agent in Edmond, for having us out today. Been active in the community for over 40 years. Wanted to highlight all of the great things going on in the Edmond Public School District here at Edmond Memorial. 341-4581 for life, home, car, insurance, and more. Get a free quote now. Jake Trotter's going to join us next right here on the Monsters of the Midday.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
How about the Saints the lawsuit?
Christian, university-educated guest. I'm going to give you a two-team moneyline parlay in the NFL where you are guaranteed winners. Take Carolina on the money line against the Rams. That's going to be a straight-up winner. And also take the Miami Dolphins money line, put those two teams together, collect a nice paycheck for yourself. So that's my Mid-American Christian University educated guest. Thank you to Mid-American Christian University for sponsoring said educated guests. Let's welcome in Jake Trotter from We will welcome in Jake Trotter momentarily from ESPN covering the Browns, tweeting out some Odell Beckham Jr. shoes earlier today. I'm sure getting really busy for the opener in Cleveland where the Browns are 5.5-point favorites, and I do not think susceptible to upset to me from Tennessee. Now, it may be closer than one would expect, but I think the Browns find a way to get off to a 1-0 start. Unlike what they did a year ago. We'll also get Jake Trotter's picks. I believe a sneak preview is out there that Jake is inquiring about some NFL games and may have a couple of NFL picks. Interesting strategy by Young Ravis and Mr. Trotter. NFL games are so hard to handicap. Most all of those spreads are within a window of 6 points, one way or the other. And in the NFL, backdoor covers are a huge thing. About 2 minutes to go. In the game, one team's up by two touchdowns. Defenses kind of take the rest of the game off. And the offenses are so good in the NFL, they can go down and score kind of at a moment's notice. So I'll go ahead and tell you again, thank you so much to Dennis Chamont, your State Farm agent in Edmond. And if you have a chance, get out here and see this great new facility that they have here at Edmond Memorial. Huge facelift on the stadium here that's been in existence. And great work on the gym, new track and field facility across the street that's going to be open next week. And it almost looks the same as a really nice football field. So love that the Tracksters have got their own facility to work out in. Nice field house across the street as well. So let's bring in Jake Trotter from ESPN. You ready for the game Sunday?
Yes. Yeah, so, hey, Matt called me, you know, to come on the air. Sorry I missed my regular segment with Open Locker Room, but Matt called me. I was on hold, and I'm walking out of the facility. I guess I run into the guy who's calling the game on Sunday, Jim Nance. So I got to know through the Big 12 expansion drama of a couple of years ago. So I was just talking to him.
Nice.
And he actually lives in Cleveland full time, which I did not know. So I got.
He lives in Cleveland full time. He's got a house. He's got a house out there in Carmel. Why would he live in Cleveland?
I didn't know that. I just found out.
Wow, that is a shocker. You may have to vet that. I don't know if we can just take the first person, take his confirmation on where he lives.
You think I just made that story?
No. I'm just saying he's. I think maybe he made it up. Okay, we got to get your picks in here. I want to ask you about the Browns, but we got to get your picks in. You got to make five picks, and you don't pick the Oklahoma State game this week because there's no line on either one of them. So it's all up to you, carte blanche, the entire schedule.
Correct. Okay, so my T&W Tire lock of the week. I'm going to Columbia, Missouri, and I'm going to pick against my Mountaineers. I think the line on that game is 13.5. I don't think Missouri is that bad, despite the performance in week one. I think West Virginia is that bad after almost losing to JMU. So give me the Kelly Bryants at 13.5 for my T&W Tire Lock of the Week as I continue to search for my first Lock of the Week victory of the year.
Now, I consider ourselves both intelligent people. But it does scare me a little bit that we had the same thought. That is also my T&W Tire Lock of the Week.
Did you guys do this last week too?
Oklahoma State?
Well, I think you guys had the same lock last week too, or maybe not. Maybe I at least had.
No, we both had Arkansas State as a loser last week.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, we're 0-1 on picks we make together.
Okay. Well,
not
hopefully.
Good.
Hopefully we'll be right on this one. Okay, pick number two for you.
Pick number two. So I think a lot of people look at this game and think it's going to be a repeat of last year. I do not, because I think Michigan is a completely different football team than Oklahoma. I think Michigan's going to be able to get off the field. I do not think Army is going to be able to put together these 8, 9, 10-minute drives they were able to in Norman last year. And I think Michigan will score more. So I like the Wolverines to cover the 22 against Army, especially after the Black Knights had such trouble against Rice last week.
You're going against Mr. Ravis.
I like that.
I do think your logic on that is solid in my mind.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, pick number three.
Right. Okay, so I was leaning very hard to Texas, but I could not pull the trigger on that game. Just the injuries and the lack of experience defensively just made me a little nervous. So instead, I'm going to pick against this team for the second straight week. Hopefully I can take them down, and that's the Lane Kiffins. And Central Florida getting 10.5 against FAU. Let's go Jonas Heupel.
You're with Dusty on that one? That one makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay.
I like that pick. Okay.
So my final two picks are going to come from the little CG. So I was texting you guys for the updated lines, and so they were higher than I was hoping. I'm going to go with Philadelphia and Dallas because I it's more of an anti-Washington New York Giants pick. But I do think, at least in the case of Dallas, there's going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of momentum with the Zeke signing. And I just think Dallas is really good on top of that. Same with Philadelphia. So I like both teams.
Why? Okay, curious as to why you wouldn't lock the Browns, giving less than a touchdown to the Titans, and you want to lock the Cowboys, giving more than a touchdown to the Giants.
Two reasons. One, this Odell hip thing. A little bit nervous, even though he's, you know, he's going to play. I just want to see what that looks like, because if he's not 100%, then all of a sudden that looks a little bit different. And number two, I don't want to lock a game I'm at. That's gonna mess with me a little bit. So,
all right, just because the game you're covering.
Yeah, I just don't want to be involved with the game I'm covering. Maybe that'll change, okay. But I didn't want to do that.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, so what is the health status for Beckham?
So, I mean, yesterday he said that he's never had anything like this before. This is a guy that's had a lot of lower leg injuries, you know, quad, ankle, knee, and all kinds of stuff throughout his career. And, you know, he didn't play in a preseason game. He wasn't even a full team practice participant until last week. And, you know, kind of felt like, just talking to Freddie Kitchens and Munkin, that, you know, he was developing nicely going into the game, progressing nicely. Yesterday, he said it's like a car that, you know, is out of alignment, which doesn't sound very good, especially if you've driven a car that's out of alignment. And he said he hasn't been able to open up and run at top speed yet and doesn't know if he's going to be able to even Sunday. So, you know, today he was, full practice participant again. He's not on the injury report at all. So, I mean, he's going to play. It's just a question of how effective he's going to be. I have a feeling that Odell Beckham at 90% is still, like, I don't know, a top five wideout in the league, or top seven at least. And I think he could still have a good game. But, you know, if you have him on your fantasy team, like, still start him. But it does give me a little bit of pause with playing this game and just how effective this Browns offense is going to be, considering all these pieces haven't played together at all in the preseason. And as dynamic as they are from a talent perspective, the chemistry, it might take a game or two, I think, for them to get to the, you know, full capacity. So we'll see what happens. You know, that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they put up 30, 35 points against a really good Tennessee defense. But, you know, first game, kind of want to see a little bit.
What rookies are going to start for the Browns?
I don't think any rookies are going to start. You know, Greedy Williams is going to play a lot at corner, but I think Terrence Mitchell is going to start. Jamie Gillen at punter and Austin Seibert at keeper. They're going to start two rookie kickers. You know, talk to Austin about OU's kicking issues at Houston today. He thinks they're going to be just fine. So those guys are really talented. So that's good news for Sooner fans there. You know, Mack Wilson will play a little bit at linebacker. But that's probably about it. Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of rookies on this team. And not a lot of rookies are going to play.
Yeah, I would have thought Greedy Williams might have a chance.
I think he'll start eventually. It might be a game or two before I think we get to that point. But he's going to be on the active.
What did you think of the game last night? Bears looked awful on offense.
These Bears were just absolutely embarrassing offensively. You know, I thought David Montgomery was going to be a nice player for them, but if the rest of the offense stinks like that, it's not going to matter.
He looked bad last night on his own. He didn't run hard.
He did. It did not look good, and you know, I remember a couple of years ago, there was somebody on the sports team that was stumping for teams to take Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. I was on the other side of that argument and have been, I think, proved right at least once there. But, man, I mean, Trubisky looked awful. There's no receivers for the Bears that really scare you. And then, you know, like you said, Montgomery, they just couldn't get the running game going at all. Even though I still like him, you know, I still think he has a chance to be a good pro. Because of his ability to break tackles. But, yeah, just a brutal, brutal game offensively, and one that if I had to do a little bit, probably would have not watched, because it was not very good.
All right, man. Make sure you wear your best gear to the game on Sunday because you never know. You know, Baker Mayfield may do something crazy. Odell, he may end up leading SportsCenter.
It could happen with this team. You never know. That's right.
That's right. Although, you always got to be prepared.
As long as Antonio Brown's doing his thing, I'm okay on the lead, I think, on SportsCenter.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for the time. Good luck on the picks this week, especially the ones you agree with me on.
Absolutely. Good luck to you, Mark. Right.
All right.
See you later.
Jake Trotter, ESPN. Covering the Cleveland Browns. That is a wrap for us on this next Friday. Matt, good job today. I enjoyed hanging out with you. The Ultimate is coming up next. Thanks again to the good people here at Edmond Memorial High School and Dennis Chamotte, your State Farm agent in Edmond, for sponsoring us being here today on the premises. And so be listening tonight for a little Del City McGinnis action, you and Jeff Couch on 9:30 a.m. WKY. So keep it right here on WWLS, the Sports Animal, the Ultimate, coming up next.
Calling all fantasy football commissioners. Win a fantasy